At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everyone, and a welcome back to More Knowing Wheel. Actually, this time round, with episode 80 of the show. Yeah, we keep messing up the numbers, apparently, in recent weeks. But today, Jamie and I return to discuss and review the goings-on from the Japanese Grand Prix. We're actually recording this a day early today because I'm going away tomorrow morning, and I don't think Jamie wanted to record at 1:30 tomorrow morning. So we're doing this pretty hot off the back of the Japanese Grand Prix. And safe to say, I think it's left us with a little bit of confusion. But before we get into that, though, of course, as always, if you're watching this on YouTube, check the links down in the description below. We've got links to Bybit, we've got links to Spotify, F1 merch, everything like that. Definitely recommend going and checking those out. But, Jamie, how are we both feeling apart from shattered?
Yeah, pretty tiring weekend all round. But that's what you get with a 5:00 or 5:30 a.m. start this morning. Yep. Luckily, managed to get a bit of a nap in midway through the race, which is not something you really want to say about a Grand Prix, but it was obviously a red flag. So, yeah, was fun. But here we are.
Yeah, I must admit, I was really happy because when the red flag got called out, I went to sleep pretty much immediately. And I woke up as the cars were rolling back out of the pit lane behind the safety car by pure fluke. It was a miracle.
No, I was much more calculated and had a 15-minute timer on my phone that every 15 minutes it'd wake me
really?
Up at the screen and it was still not going. I just go straight back to sleep.
There's no chance I was doing that this morning. No chance at all. But, I mean, yeah, Japanese Grand Prix, though, of course. We spoke Friday. We did a bit of a free practice review, of course, because free practice has already gone ahead. It's been a bit of a weird week for the podcast, but then we got the huge news, didn't we? Saturday morning was it Friday night, Saturday morning, one or the other?
Yeah.
Either way, finally, the cat is out of the bag. Pierre Gasly is going to Alpine next year, and Nyck de Vries, of all people, you know, that young Red Bull junior driver, is going to AlphaTauri.
Yes, and it was announced by Fabrizio Romano, which I found quite amusing.
I thought that was really clever marketing, but yeah.
It was very good marketing, but it was just funny seeing Fabrizio tweeting, "Here we go about Formula One." Gasly, yeah, it's been kind of a done deal for a while, it seems. So that leaves us only one seat left on the grid,
two.
I believe, which is the Haas.
And the second Williams.
Which is basically going to Sargent, you'd imagine. Now, because they've missed the boat on De Vries like we thought they might.
Yep.
If Sargent doesn't get the points, the super license points, that'll be very interesting.
Christmas, but that mean Latifi's coming back.
Yeah.
Like Felipe Massa style.
Yeah. So it's only really the second Haas seat between Schumacher and Hülkenberg.
Hülkenberg.
Which is very exciting. But yeah, De Vries, the 27-year-old Mercedes Junior going to Red Bull's junior team is quite funny. Meanwhile, Albon, Red Bull's other junior driver at 25, racing for Mercedes' junior team.
Yeah, it's all a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think for De Vries, it's a pretty sensible move. I think the thing is, isn't it? It seems like Williams didn't really want to pull the trigger unless Mercedes were going to give them a lot for him. And Mercedes were, I always sort of got the impression that Mercedes were kind of there going, he's 27, the worst thing can happen is he ends up kicking around in the Formula E team for a few more years that we're just less and less invested in. Red Bull are giving him an opportunity. I'm sure they've sugarcoated it with he might end up next to Max at Red Bull if Checo goes, but
Dutch
super team apparently. But will that happen? I don't really know, to be honest.
Well, he definitely wasn't going to end up at a Mercedes.
No, like, exactly.
Full-time seat, where he might end up at a Red Bull seat.
Yeah.
So it's worth a gamble.
Yeah, exactly for him. And I mean, for Pierre Gasly as well, I guess it's probably quite good. You know, he's finally out of the Red Bull system. I mean, we've said this for, what, about 3 years at this point? He should have probably been trying to get out of it. But, I mean,
and to be fair, I think he's had to be patient because there wasn't really much opportunity.
He had to wait till his stock was high enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think it's a good move for him, as long as he and Ocon can get along, which I'm sure they'll
The thing, I can see this going really weirdly, and I don't know why, but I can see just like in some bizarre scenario that Gasly just gels really quickly with the team, and Ocon ends up like some outcast on the side, and like ends up cutting his deal short, and then goes off somewhere else. But
maybe, you never know.
Who knows? Could end up back at Aston Martin when Alonso goes.
Yeah, just follow Alonso around.
Pretty much, yeah. But I mean, the other one, I guess we probably have to. I mean, it's all but confirmed now, isn't it? Daniel Ricciardo's gone for 2023, and
yeah,
that's really not come as much of a surprise, and that probably, to be honest, means he's gone for good.
Yeah, I think he'll... Yeah, I don't see any team wanting to pay him the money that he wants to come back as having a year out. I really don't see it. Potentially, like, he might do some one-off marketing stuff, but it won't be a full-time race, I don't think.
I mean, he could even go back to Red Bull for PR.
Yeah, for all we know. He could kick around the paddock for a bit. Do a bit of what Coulthard did for Red Bull, I guess.
Yeah, but this is what I mean, yeah.
Drivers. Yeah.
Yeah, it's,
yeah, who
it's
knows?
A strange one for Ricciardo. But
the only thing I'm slightly upset about is that back in 2017, he asked for a race in Vegas, and he's not actually going to get to race.
No. No, it's kind of crazy. I mean, Lewis has got his Miami Grand Prix, but Ricciardo won't get his Vegas race, which is a bit upsetting. But... You know, I guess it is what it is. You know, I think it's always that thing, isn't it, in Formula 1, where drivers talk about taking a year out and then coming back. Really, unless your name's Kevin Magnussen, unless you're a multiple world champion, that's not going to happen. I mean, when you look...
Nico Hülkenberg, he's coming
back. No, he's not, though, is he? Hülkenberg ran away as quickly as he could. But, I mean, when you look back over the last 10 years, we've really had K-Mags come back twice, somehow.
Ocon
came back, but that was always...
He didn't choose to have a
year exactly. That was like, always kind of having to wait because Alpine have never been able to deal with having three drivers. Obviously, you've got Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen.
Kimi Kobayashi.
Yeah, kind of. Although that was a Caterham, which is a bit of a weird one. And then obviously Danny Kvyat with his on-off relationship with Kelly Piquet. Sorry, I mean Toro Rosso.
Red Bull Racing.
But yeah, I think for Ricciardo, I think sadly it's probably going to go the same way as Hülkenberg if he's not going to end up back in, because I do genuinely think we're probably going to see Mick keep that seat next year.
I disagree, but there we go. I disagree about Hulk. I think Ricciardo probably has gone for good. A bit of a Mark Webber
situation. Ricciardo was a much better driver than Hulk.
Over the course of his career, yeah, but...
Do you honestly think
value for money now?
But Hulk wouldn't go to Haas because they weren't willing to pay him enough. Ricciardo might do the same thing in 12. It'll be just Ricciardo and Hulk outside Haas going, I'll do it for free. No, I'll give you money.
Yeah, yeah. Just like undoing each other, going lower and lower until one of them gets a seat.
And then K-Mac's just going to bully him.
Maybe. We'll see.
Let's get into qualifying though, Jamie. I mean, it was a dry Saturday running, which was pretty good, and the only real time over the entire weekend we could say it was dry. Q1, Q2 weren't particularly exciting. I guess the only sort of real interesting thing we had was AlphaTauri. Both their drivers were not happy with the brakes, were they?
No, which is a bit weird. Like, I think something that Ted said, I think I remember rightly, it's very... lack of sleep, so maybe not, but he said like they always change the brakes between practice and qualifying because that's just what they do to save durability.
Well, you use an old set, wouldn't you, for free practice?
Yeah, so the new brakes that they put on, they just weren't happy with either driver. So yeah, I think it was at Q1 when Tsunoda completely destroyed a set of tires into the triangle.
Yep.
Because the brake balance was just all wrong, so unfortunate for both drivers. But Tsunoda ended up going 11th, if I remember rightly.
I think it was 13th at the end of Q2.
13th,
yeah.
Which is fairly good for the Toro Rosso, sorry, AlphaTauri.
Much better than Gasly.
Yeah. Yeah, Gasly was more annoyed, and also they sent him out the wrong time at Q1, so he didn't get a lap in.
Yeah. Yeah, so he joined Kevin Magnussen, Lance Stroll, and both Williams there. Sebastian Vettel made it out of Q1. We were very, very impressed to see that one again. And to be fair to Seb, I mean, we'll discuss this more and more as it goes on. He had a weird and wild weekend.
Q3,
but yeah, he did make it into Q3 there again. Q2, Yuki was pretty upset once more about the brakes, but he was joined by Mick Schumacher, Zhou Guanyu, Bottas and Ricciardo, so no real major surprises there, was there? Bottas now has locked up the qualifying battle against Zhou Guanyu, so nice to know that one's settled at last.
Yeah, well, we count it from Baku,
do we? Okay.
Just start counting from ever joking.
I would be quite interested, actually, now you've mentioned that, to see what the championship would look like if we counted from Baku. Because I think Ferrari would be behind Mercedes.
They definitely would. P- Perez will be clear in second,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, I mean, we got into Q3, and this is sort of where we saw the only real controversy, wasn't it? Max Verstappen. That, I mean, we call it a block, but it was a bit strange, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, Lando wasn't on a lap, and kind of the done thing at Suzuka this weekend seemed to be everyone going super slowly around the final, like, the 130R and final sector.
Yeah, because you just want to set yourself up out of the Casio Triangle. Yeah.
Max was doing that. He was going very slowly in the middle of the track out of 130R. And then Lando on an outlap just didn't fancy that, so was going for it, like, really high speed, and came across Verstappen in the middle of the track. So it was dangerous. Definitely Max, like, lit up the rear trying to get out of the way as well and almost half spun. Lando has to take to the grass, but I'm not surprised at the outcome. It wasn't a penalty or anything. I think reprimand is probably... that's the norm in those kind of situations. If Norris was on a lap, that's obviously a grid drop for Verstappen. Yeah. But the fact it was both outlaps, it's just a bit of a, yeah, an unfortunate coming together rather than a block.
A very, very strange one, wasn't it? And then, I mean, they did it again the second time round for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Max went fastest at the end of his first run. It got very, very close at the end of qualifying. There won 1/100th between him and Charles Leclerc there. And yeah, I think Leclerc probably a bit gutted, of course, because we all knew the championship permutations going into it. But it,
and Sainz was right there.
Sainz was half a tenth away as well there. I mean, Suzuka has often delivered close pole battles, hasn't it? It's always 2011 that sticks in my mind, where JB, if he'd gone up towards the inside pit wall on the run to the line, he would have jumped Seb there, because that was 9/1000ths of a second.
And that would have been the first non-Red Bull pole of the year.
Yes, it would have been, wouldn't it? Because then Hamilton got it at Korea,
indeed.
God, we are such nerds. but I mean, other shout-outs, though, of course, like we said, Max Verstappen, Paul Leclerc, Sainz, Perez are your top four there. Esteban Ocon, Alpine this weekend were looking rapid. They had a really, really good run.
Yeah. Yeah, ahead of the, like, one Alpine ahead of each Mercedes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really good showing. And I think they needed this because Singapore was not good in terms of constructors compared to McLaren, whereas this weekend went a lot better for them.
I mean, Alpine, I think, have comfortably got the fourth fastest car now.
Yeah, they have.
At least they got the fourth fastest team in its entirety as
Norris is just kind of annoying them all the time by being really good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. A bit disappointed with George's qualifying form in the end. I mean, I think it's gone a bit under the radar, hasn't it? But he's yet to out-qualify Lewis since the summer break.
Yeah, he obviously got that pole in Hungary. It hasn't really kicked on.
Yeah, very, very weird. But, I mean, special shout-out to Seb as well. Every Japanese Grand Prix he's ever done, he made it into Q3, and bravo to him.
That goes back to Fuji in the Toro Rosso.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy, isn't it? But I think Seb, absolutely deserved that. Drove the wheels off the Aston Martin on Saturday there. And, Lando Norris, after interesting qualifying antics with Max Verstappen there, couldn't really ever get a proper lap in, so ended up down in P10. Then we get to Sunday, don't we, Jamie?
Indeed. Sorry, I was just taking a sip of coffee. Sunday morning, 5:30 a.m., my alarm goes off. then we wake up and it's a wet race. It was very wet at the start, to be fair. I was surprised they actually went for it, because usually in those circumstances we get a 10-minute delay followed by a 30-minute delay followed by a rolling start.
Yeah.
But we actually started the race under normal conditions. Race start, Leclerc actually got the better launch, but all of them starting in second gear like we often see in the wet. Leclerc did get ahead of Verstappen, had the inside line as well for turn one, but obviously in the wet, the outside, you kind of have a lot more momentum just swinging around the outside.
It's so cambered turn one at Suzuka.
Yeah. I did briefly think it was going to be a 2019 repeat of Leclerc just like T-boning Verstappen out of the race.
It was either going to be 1990 or 2019. Yeah.
Verstappen held the lead. Well done around the outside, actually. And Vettel, after an amazing qualifying, basically immediately threw it away by driving into the side of Alonso and then blaming Alonso for it. So that was curious.
Which, bless him, I mean, again, I mean, we spoke about this before we started recording, like, completely Sebastian Vettel's fault, don't get us wrong. But even if Alonso hadn't have been there, he'd still turned in too early for the corner. We don't really know where Seb was trying to go.
And to be fair, you could not see Alonso at all. So it's quite unfortunate. But
to be honest, Alonso probably saved him from quite a worse crash.
Yeah, because if he'd have hit anyone more inside, that would have been a much more acute angle to hit someone.
Yeah.
So, he spun, was then last, and later into the lap, Carlos Sainz, who was running in third. Aquaplaned on the exit of the hairpin, straight into the barrier on the left-hand side. The front of his car was just poking into the track, which is pretty dangerous. But luckily, no one hit him. Hamilton was extremely close.
Hamilton was
Alonso.
Inches away, wasn't he?
It was, very frightening. I don't think it would have been, you're not talking about injuries, but it would have just been a really high-speed crash.
Yeah, quite a shock crash, I think, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If it was going to be anything. But, Sainz, unlucky, but... this isn't the first time Sainz has had issues this year on lap one. The third time now he's retired lap one of a Grand Prix?
Well, before lap
before
two.
Lap, well, before the end of lap two.
Because Australia was technically on lap
two. I thought Australia was lap three, to be honest, but you're probably right. It's difficult, isn't it? Because, of course, those conditions were horrendous at the start of the race. Like we said, I think we were both quite surprised they did get on with it. They weren't undrivable, clearly, because no one else made that mistake. Sainz just sort of the unlucky one in all of that. And I think it kind of sums up his season, doesn't it, really? If someone's going to just overstep the mark slightly and pay the consequences, it seems to be Sainz more often than not.
Yeah. Bit of a shame because he was very much on the pace with in qualifying, certainly. He probably wouldn't have stuck with Leclerc and Verstappen in the race.
No.
But certainly he could have got a podium there, I think.
Yeah. So a bit gutted for him. Very, very weird as well, because, it's not a common place to crash around that section of the circuit, is it? But
in the wet, it's a,
a lot more common,
In the dry, it's not even a corner. No. It's just the exit of the hairpin, really. But, the wet with the rivers across the track, it's, a traction zone. I always struggled there on F1, but they're horrendous in the wet. So.
Exactly. You're not a Formula One driver. Pierre Gasly, though, very, very frustrated and completely fair enough, because, of course, none of the ad boards are... stapled to the wall there. So obviously one just flew out into the track and completely destroyed his new front wing.
Yeah. And then I think what he was more annoyed about in the garage when the red flag did come out was the fact that the lap after, they had a tractor on the track recovering Sainz, which is absolutely insanity, ridiculous.
Yes.
That can still happen.
Yeah, I thought, especially at Suzuka, I feel like we'd learned our lesson from this one. But apparently not. I don't know whether... Because it's really difficult, isn't it? Because, this is the problem, of course. Safety cars in the rain. Obviously, Gasly is completely within his right to be trying to catch up to the field. Because, of course, at that point, he didn't know it was going to be red flagged. He's got to catch back up to the safety car because you don't know when it's going to come back in. So, obviously, Gasly's got to go for it. But...
Up to the Delta, which he was within his right to
do. Yeah, and especially as, obviously, once the leaders have caught back up to the safety car, obviously, the Delta gets removed, doesn't it? So, obviously, the leaders had caught up to the safety car. So, obviously, Gasly then is just basically racing again, isn't he?
Going full pelt. But even so, they've got a safety... Is it Michael Massey, the safety delegate?
No.
He's doing
Bathurst 1000 this weekend.
Oh, nice. Well, good luck to him. They literally have a safety FIA person in charge of making sure that stuff like this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And... either they don't have communication with all of the tractors, or they do, and they sent it out anyway, which either one of those things is quite concerning.
Yes,
And we're very fortunate that nothing bad happened.
No, exactly. It's really not that difficult, Formula One. If there's still cars going around, don't put tractors with Formula One cars. They don't mix. It cannot be that difficult to try and comprehend Formula One car... tractor not at the same places, please,
especially in the wet and especially when they're not all in the safety car train.
Exactly.
In the dry and when in a train, I can sometimes, at Monza for instance, they had the big vehicle on the track, but everyone was going at safe speed,
everyone's bunched up and in the sunshine. Gasly could barely see it until he was 25 30 yards away, and it does just take one. It could be a tire puncture, anything like that. It could be an aquaplane. You know, things like that, they're uncommon, but they still happen.
We know that they can happen in those conditions at Suzuka.
It really said it all, didn't it? I don't know if you saw this, but Jules Bianchi's father posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
He posted...
Have we learned nothing? Basically.
Just going, he felt there was such a lack of respect, obviously, to what had happened to Jules, that, I can't imagine, obviously, what they were sort of feeling in that moment, especially as, obviously, Pierre wasn't, obviously, Leclerc close to them, but I'm sure, especially with obviously what happened with Antoine as well. You know, Gasly knows, you know, what it's like with these sorts of things.
Yeah,
really. I mean, I feel like once we get further on into the weekend, a lot of work needs to be done. But I think, I mean, this weekend will be remembered for that weird finish, but that should be what is not forgotten from this weekend on a far more serious note.
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, yeah, so we got red flagged, and then it stopped for, what, about an hour and a half, 2 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, I watched the whole of Match of the Day from last night, which I missed because I was at a wedding. And then I went to sleep for about 45 minutes or an hour. So that was my time well spent.
I was just asleep for all of it, giving myself slight scoliosis because I slept on my front and twisted my back horrendously on my sofa. I woke up in so much pain.
Matt needs to go and see a chiropractor.
I do, yeah.
After this recording.
You'll notice as I'm recording, I'm like tilted horrendously or something. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's finally when the race resumed, though, it was basically intermediate conditions, wasn't it? Because it absolutely bucketed it down for quite a while. And then finally, sort of, the sun started to shine once again.
Yeah, the spray was still pretty bad at the start.
But it always is going to be. This is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
With modern Formula One cars.
I don't know about you, but I was quite surprised that, like, because, you know, the narrative they were giving with team radios seemed like the drivers started being a bit more negative towards the race restarting.
Yeah.
And then at that point, they chose to restart it, which was quite amusing.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, well, there's going to be horrendous aquaplaning here and everything. But the visibility was pretty poor, but the track conditions were fine.
Yeah, and Suzuka's, like they said, you know, it was a very good track actually for drainage. You know, they're used to having a lot of wet races at Suzuka, not only obviously in Formula One, but Super GT and everything like that. But, I mean, we then pretty much immediately, didn't we? Once safety car was called in, Sebastian Vettel, Nicholas Latifi made the call immediately onto the intermediates, and it paid off for both of them quite handsomely.
Yeah, I think at the very start, the wets were probably faster.
For about half a lap, I was monitoring the gap between Seb and the leader.
The fact that obviously Vettel and Latifi were, 15th and 18th or something? Like, there was no way they were going to be able to go fast in the visibility they had in the train.
Yeah.
So it was well worth the gamble to just get out of the spray and pit. And it did handsomely pay off. They were briefly up to, 6th and 8th when everyone had pit.
Yes, yeah, because obviously we started to see more and more cars box when they realised Seb was going 4 seconds a lap faster. Apart from Zhou Guanyu and Mick Schumacher, who just decided to stay out and cause a train.
Yeah, they were kind of hoping the rain intensified or someone crashed. Because, you know, if there's a big crash in the safety car, that's another 10 minutes eaten up of a, 35-minute race?
40-minute race, wasn't it? Yeah.
The timer was, not that long. didn't work for them, unfortunately. They eventually had to bail. Zhou did before Schumacher, but, both of them were basically out of it and last. So, unfortunate for Zhou. But he did get the DHL in the end, the fastest lap award.
And?
So we take that.
Mick Schumacher led a Formula One Grand Prix.
Very briefly.
He got over the start-finish line, and that's all that matters. So he has led one lap of Formula One. Yep. He has led one lap in a Formula One Grand Prix, apparently, after this. So fair play, Mick Schumacher. That'll be your legacy. But yeah, I mean, we start to see everyone on inters, and we kind of discovered this Friday, hadn't we, that the intermediate tyres at Suzuka really wore out rather quickly.
Yeah, within a...
5-10 laps.
Definitely within 10 laps. Yeah, they were really struggling. Apart from Verstappen, who was just driving into the distance, as he so often does. Leclerc was, for a bit, staying with Verstappen, but then his tyres just fell off completely. It started to settle down until some of the drivers at the back started pitting, which gave, obviously, the chain reaction of people pitting further and further up the grid. Trying just to gamble it because they have nothing to lose. I think the first key person to that was Alonso. It was incredible, really, how much quicker the fresh inters were compared to the old inters. It was, 5 seconds a lap?
Yeah.
Which was pretty ridiculous, but obviously overtaking was incredibly difficult as Lewis Hamilton was finding out behind Ocon for P4.
Yes.
Had plenty of chances, but never actually...
Not enough straight-line speed in that Mercedes. This was the problem all weekend. I mean, we saw George Russell as well make a couple of banging overtakes through the middle... through the first sector, through the S's. But, I mean, it was really that combination, wasn't it? Alpine have got one of the fastest cars down the straights. Mercedes have got one of the slowest, and Hamilton could pull alongside him, and then Ocon would just start pulling away again, which is something we've never really said about Mercedes much in the last, ever since they came back into Formula One.
10 years, yeah.
So it was kind of a bit strange from them. But yeah, I mean, I think Mercedes now as well, obviously, especially as Ferrari haven't quite got their act together, but it feels like Mercedes are struggling a bit more late on in the year. I think, you know, they are just all focus now is on next season, isn't it, really?
Yeah, they'll still do their best, obviously, to try and get that P2 in the constructors. But
it's more a case, really. It's always been a case of it's whether Ferrari, how much Ferrari mess up. We only have.
I think Mercedes outscored today, did they not?
15 against 14. So no.
Was Russell 8th? Yeah. Wow, I thought it was better.
Yeah,
he
got jumped by Alonso, didn't he, late on in the day?
Oh yeah.
So yeah, only 14 points for Mercedes this weekend. 15 for Ferrari means I think the gap's up to like 66 now, isn't it? So it really is just a question of
going to be challenging,
whether Ferrari will mess up enough, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, like you said, though, obviously Alonso making that late stop meant that, you know, we did have a couple of cars there. Like I said, Zhou Guanyu picked up the DHL for the first and probably last time in his Formula One career. but yeah, we had Alonso then that was just taking time hand over fist out of the cars in front, and that left him with a brilliant little drag race between him and Sebastian Vettel towards the start-finish line there. 11 thousandths of a second between them as they crossed the line.
I really want to see the pictures of that.
Have you not seen the footage? It's brilliant.
I've seen the footage, but I wanted to get like a
snapshot.
A phone background.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was an interesting end to the Grand Prix. For those guys, towards the front of the field, though...
It's chaotic. What was going on there?
What do we say here? We didn't get to watch Max Verstappen win his second world championship because none of us knew he was winning it.
No. It was so confusing. I'll try and explain to the viewers who maybe didn't watch the race live or don't know what the rules are. There was a new rule brought in place, basically because of Belgium 21, that is specifically worded: if a race is suspended and cannot be restarted, points will be awarded based on the following, which is
the contrived
over
if
two,
you do
over six laps but less than 25%
you
or
get
something,
pi r squared divided by three times your championship total minus your driver number or something.
So basically we all thought that those rules meant if a race doesn't do the full distance,
well, we spent all day being told that by Sky F1.
Yes, that's true.
Who, may I remind you, have just signed another huge long-term deal with Formula One.
Yes, yeah. So apparently, because of the wording, those rules only apply when a race is suspended and can't be restarted, such as Spa last year. When a race starts and then finishes...
But Spa did restart last year. Under safety
it
car
did,
still,
but, then
but...
It suspended. It didn't go to a checkered flag. Or
it, well, it did.
It did. That, I don't
this makes less
I mean,
and less sense the more we think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, now I think about it. Yeah, because they were able to run to the zero on the clock and finish the race, in inverted commas, full points were awarded, which we didn't know about until in the cooldown room, I think. Or Johnny Herbert knew about it in the interviews. But the thing that threw even more jeopardy into it was Leclerc and Perez were having a banged last lap battle with Leclerc on ruined tyres. Into the Cato Triangle last lap. Perez right behind Leclerc. Leclerc locks up Turkey 2020 style, goes straight on, rejoins the track. Perez trying to go on the outside, and Leclerc just ushers him basically into the grass. If Perez doesn't back out, then Ocon gets a podium, which I don't think we all wouldn't want to see. It was kind of mad, but that ended up with Leclerc getting a very swift penalty, which I think we all saw coming.
Yeah, I mean, I found it quite funny, the fact that it took him 3 hours last week not to give Sergio one, and yet Leclerc had the ban hammer swung on him before he'd even got out of the car. Like, he didn't even have a chance to try and fight his case or anything against the FIA. But, I mean...
Yeah, so that dropped to Leclerc P3, Perez P2, which, with the full points, with no fastest lap in play, because Joe is an absolute baller... Verstappen P1, Leclerc P2 would have gone to the next race in terms of the championship.
Yeah.
But with Leclerc P3, it was over with full points. It wasn't over if they gave to 75% points, which I think was 19 for a win.
Yes, yeah. Leclerc would have still been in it by one.
Yeah, or 12 for third, sorry. So it was an absolute mess. No, we all thought the race or the championship wasn't done.
Even Max Verstappen didn't think the championship was done.
And literally, the middle of Perez's interview with Herbert on the in the cool down area, Johnny Herbert just gets in his ear, "Oh, you've won a title," and then Max comes back and is like, "Oh, okay," and then goes and celebrates with his team.
And then goes upstairs and goes, "I don't think I'm champion still."
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. How? Formula One is the cutting edge of technology and innovation. It's so dependent on, like, a millimetre can make a difference. And yet the FIA can't count to eight. I don't get it.
Yeah, they can't write a clear rule book. It's like, what?
I mean, when you look at the results screen, it literally says 28 laps for Max Verstappen of a 53-lap Grand Prix, and he's got 25 points for it.
Yeah. So basically, what we're trying to ascertain, what we think, and I know you tweeted this, like, you could do 50 laps at Monaco, and then it absolutely downpours, and you've got to red flag it, and you can't.
There could be a tsunami at the Monaco Grand Prix. Yep.
In that situation, you would get 75% points of 19 for the race win. You could do one lap.
Two.
You could start. Say it was this race at Japan. You could start the race like we did, have that red flag for 2.5 hours, do three more laps or four more laps, I believe. And then 4 points would be awarded.
But I don't even think you'd have to do four more laps. You'd only have to do two because the race is resumed, so all hell breaks loose, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean,
so once the race resumes and goes to zero, that means we just forget about points and you can.
Everyone gets points that they feel like. you can just go to the FIA, give them a couple of cans of beer and just say, "I want 16 points." And they go, "Yeah, fine."
Yeah, go on.
I mean,
then.
It's just utterly bizarre, isn't it? It makes no sense whatsoever.
But the upshot is Verstappen won the championship, making it 3 out of 3 for FIA series being won in the pit lane.
Yep, this... yeah! I hadn't even thought
Which
about
is kind
that.
Of mad.
Oh, dearie me. I mean, F2 wasn't that controversial, but still.
No.
Every season of FIA top-tier motorsport in Formula... in
Formula 1, Formula 2,
Formula 3,
Formula 3 all
of
them.
One in the pit lane.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me.
And it also meant that we got no... Like, we didn't even see Verstappen cross the line on the live feed.
No.
We didn't get Crofty commentating anything over Verstappen winning a championship. So I don't know what Sky are going to do next year.
Yeah.
On their production and their advertising.
I mean, Crofty will just do it next weekend, won't he?
Yeah, yeah. Or just get him back in the booth and fake it.
Yeah. It's just utter... carnage.
This is Formula One heritage, to quote Jose Mourinho.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing, like, new Formula One fans, I mean, we dealt with the absolute shower of poo last year that was Abu Dhabi. Like, this is more normal F1 BS, isn't it? Like, this is
just
the kind
like...
of bizarre stuff that Jamie and I have seen for, like, 15 years of Hamilton getting a 25-second penalty at Spa for hopping one chicane and things like that.
That was fair.
They just make no sense whatsoever.
It's like, technically they've applied the rules properly. It's just
but
the rules
But in such an eggy
stupid.
Way. So egg. But I mean, the thing is as well, like, let's be fair, we all knew Verstappen was winning this championship. Like, and again, he's won another championship in controversial fashion. But of course, this time around, I feel sorry for him.
Yeah, he's had his celebration. Or, like, imagine if you could picture, like, the ideal way of winning a championship. You'd probably picture 2021, to be fair. But if you could picture the worst way...
I'll go away.
I imagine it would be Johnny Herbert telling you in an interview with your teammate that you're the champion.
Yeah. Johnny Herbert telling your teammate that you're champion and then awkwardly bringing
really
you back in.
It couldn't really be much worse.
I mean, it's surely this will get fixed again.
It just needs to be clear. I think now that we've had it once, everyone kind of knows what
they're
doing.
Yeah, but surely it's not how it should work, though. Like, it shouldn't be based on whether you get a race restart. Yeah. It should just be how much of a race is done.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter if you go to zero on a timer or not. It's,
Because how can four laps in one Grand Prix be different to four laps in another? This is the point, isn't it?
Well, four laps in one Grand Prix is worth more points than 50 laps in another
Grand Prix. Yeah, exactly. It just makes zero sense still. I mean, just... Yeah. Utterly, I mean, it's prime Formula One disaster class, isn't it? Once more, I mean, GG's to Max. I mean, let's be fair, it did take away from the fact he dominated that race. I mean, it was
25 seconds,
28 laps,
30 lap race,
28, and obviously that was after a restart as well. So, 27 seconds over Perez. So he was a second a lap faster than everyone else throughout the entirety of that Grand Prix.
Insane.
Honda as well, of course.
Second World Championship. Yep,
second World Championship. Somehow weirder than the first, nearly. Not quite. Yeah. Also means, though, Jamie, I think we can now completely come to the conclusion that Williams are the best team this year.
How have you come
well,
to that?
Well, they're the only team with three drivers to have scored points.
True.
No
True.
One else
Nicholas
can claim that. If only Hulkenberg
that
had pulled his finger
is
out.
An unbelievable segue.
Oh, no.
you've lined
I've accidentally
right
lined
you
that up, have I? Okay.
So, with Nicholas Latifi scoring points today, yep. that means, or yeah, or 2 days ago when you were watching yep. this, that means every full-time driver has scored a point yep. this season. That has only happened in one other season before.
Oh, Christmas pudding.
In Formula One. I'll give you the year that happened, just to be kind. It was 2018 that every full-time driver scored a point.
Was it? Yeah, because Manor had gone. Yeah.
So what you need to do, I need to get a timer up. Any driver that raced in one of those seasons, exactly one of them.
Hey?
So every driver to score a point in either 2018 or 2022, but not both.
But not both? Oh, yes. Christmas pudding.
And there are 14 answers.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, right.
My timer is set on 15 minutes for when I was trying to get intervals.
I'm going to need 15 minutes.
Right. You can have a minute and 8 seconds.
Thanks.
The start. There you go.
Kimi Raikkonen. Antonio Giovinazzi. No. Danny Kvyat. Brendan Hartley.
Hartley, yes. Kvyat, no.
No. Who was the other guy that raced alongside Hartley for a while? no, Gasly scored this year as well. Oh, this is horrendous, Jamie. What sort of quiz is this?
So you got five more from 2018.
Five more from 2018. Oh, I can just do 2022, can't I?
Yeah.
Nick De Vries, Nicholas Latifi, Alex Albon, Zhou Guan Yu, Yuki Tsunoda, Mick Schumacher.
Yes. Two more.
Two more.
Who weren't?
Esteban Ocon. No, he was. Charles Leclerc.
Nope, he was there.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he, in 2018? Alonso.
No, he was there.
He was still there, wasn't he? Who else wasn't there in 2018?
14 seconds.
Who else wasn't there? George Russell.
Yes.
Who else wasn't there in 2018 that's there now? Pierre Gasly?
No, he
was there. Stroll? No, he scored. Did he?
And you're out.
That was awful.
Yeah. That was... I mean, you got... There were six left, so how many did I say there were? Did I say there were 15?
I don't know.
14?
I can't lost track
of anything. But you got over half of them. Yay. But you just read out this year's drivers.
Yep, you're damn right.
And still missed Lando Norris.
I said Lando, didn't I?
No, you didn't say
pudding.
Lando. We might get VAR on that. But
I don't
I'm
think
sure
I did, to be
Lando.
Fair.
The other drivers in 2018 he didn't say were Nico Hülkenberg.
I said Hülkenberg. No, I didn't. I said Nick De Vries. Damn it.
Nick De Vries wasn't an answer because he's not a full-time driver.
No, I know that after I said it.
Romain Grosjean, Stoffel van Dorn, and Marcus Ericsson.
Ah.
So you missed six. But there we go.
I mean, that is the eggiest quiz I think you've ever done.
It was a very botched category when I... I couldn't ask you to name two-time champions, could I? That would be way too easy.
Alonso, Schumacher, Hamilton, Vettel, Fangio, Prost, Senna, Stewart, Piquet, Brabham, Hill.
Clark.
Not Hill.
Wait, Hill?
Hill.
Which
Graham.
Hill?
Did he win two or did he just...
Two?
I thought he won two.
I think he won
I think he won two.
I know the Hills as a family and an extra Phil Hill.
62 and 68. Thank you very much.
Oh, fair play. There we go.
You came runner-up
three
more
times. Quiz.
It's not, but I did
well.
The real
quiz. I
rattled those off.
You did less well on the real quiz.
I did do less well on the real quiz. Shall we get then, Jamie? Now, we're going to brace ourselves quickly because normally, of course, when we do these quizzes, we do it on a Monday evening. And F1 Fantasy has fixed itself by then. We're doing this on a Sunday morning, not long after the Grand Prix. For those of you that don't know, F1 Fantasy kind of poos itself for about a day after a Grand Prix for some reason. So I'm going to hit refresh and see how much my team's points have changed.
Mine haven't changed.
So we're going to believe and say this is accurate.
But you can't look at... We can't, unfortunately, can't do
we can't do a rundown this week. We apologise. So it's going to be the quickest rattle through F1 Fantasy you've ever seen. Because it will give us the wrong scores.
Yeah. I said to Matt before the race, or before we started recording, sorry, that just to put into perspective, Verstappen got 80% of my points.
I've definitely done better than Jamie this week, considering he scored less than a third of mine.
But then what I didn't tell you was that I mega drivered him.
Oh!
So...
Oh, no!
So Verstappen got me 162.
Oh, you monster! Oh, how many did you score then overall?
So in total, I got 207.
You monster! I mean, to be fair, I'm not far behind you because I didn't use my Mega.
Yeah, the rest of my team didn't do that well, but the Mega driver pole win and led every lap, so not bad.
No, and he was... Yeah, because you told me he was on a race streak, didn't you? So I didn't even...
I did.
I should have known you were going to be eggy with that. So there we go then. So 207 was that, sorry, for you.
Yes.
I scored 185 without a Mega,
which is
pretty good going, I think, in the end. So obviously I had Verstappen, 54 points. I had Perez, who scored me 76. Sainz, who scored me 1.
Could you turbo Perez?
Perez is still turboed on my team.
I tried to, and he was over 20 million.
I'm keeping him there for that reason.
That is
ridiculous. Perez is turboed still for me. I had Sainz and Bottas, who got me 3 between them. Alonso got me 14. And Alpine, who this week obviously saved themselves after the Singapore disgrace, and got me 38 points as well.
That's really annoying.
Thank you.
Because if Perez, like, if the game worked properly, and none of us could turbo Perez, then you would have ended up with Sainz
turbo. And now I'm scared that I can't now change anything. I can't even put Verstappen on a Mega Driver.
You can't even view your team, because if you do, it tells you to update
your turbo. Yeah, so I'm stuck now. I'm never going to be able to Mega Driver anyone.
And you can't turbo Sainz. No, you can't turbo Leclerc, Verstappen, or Perez. So that's why I went for Sainz, who got me 2 points. But if I'd done it earlier in the week and turboed Perez and left it, then, yeah, I would have got, like, 290 or something.
No, it wouldn't have been that much.
Sainz got me 2. Perez got you what, 70?
Yeah, but you would have lost... You would have only gained, like, 30-odd, wouldn't you?
No, because I didn't have Perez.
Oh, you don't have Perez
in
your team, right? No, okay, fair enough. Yeah, you would have got, like, 280, you fraud.
Yeah, I would have been top 10 in this. I'm fuming.
Probably.
F1 fantasy fix.
How many are you on now overall, sorry?
3, 2, 5, 6.
So I'm about 170 behind you. Which
you need a good.
I need a good Mega Driver, but it's not impossible because that's probably if as long as I don't mess it up, that's probably like a free 100 points.
Yeah.
So I'm probably only at like 60 behind you, which is catchable. But especially Perez keeps carrying me along.
If you just don't change your team, you've got to win you Mega. But
no, I'll break the system. It's fine. I'll get over on FIA about that one. The FIA
you
deal with F1 Fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, given that neither have working rules,
exactly.
I guess they might
exactly. I don't really want to talk about our predictions this week, you absolute
egg. Oh, yes.
I cannot stand Mr. 183.
After I was getting a bit worried that you started to close in on me recently.
Yeah.
Chipping away like 1 or 2 points.
I remember, though, I feel like we often do this based on where they actually cross the line rather than penalties.
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't believe in the FIA system. I didn't update it from last week either, did I? So I think I was on 42 and you were on 54.
Yeah, yeah.
So those were the scores going into this, and they're definitely not.
So it was getting quite close. It was getting quite close, and then I've just dropped a cheeky little 8 out of 8 this weekend.
62 for Jamie. How many did I get?
I wonder, you got none for quality.
I got 4.
You got a max win and Leclerc and Perez in the wrong place.
So well, I got them in the right place. It's just because the FIA wouldn't even let Ferrari fight their
case. Just because Leclerc fumbled the last corner.
Because Leclerc's an egg when it comes to championship deciders when he's on intermediates. Last 2 times a world champion has been declared on intermediates, Charles Leclerc has bottled it with 2 corners to go. If that doesn't prove to you how rigged this game is, I don't know what does.
This game.
But
sport,
62-46, it's over. Jamie, what tweet are you putting on my profile? I don't
know. Well, there's 10 points available in Brazil. It's not over
yet. It's basically over, Jamie.
It's not over till it's mathematically impossible.
Okay.
And then we'll award 75%.
Exactly,
points.
Yeah. You'll only get 75 points, 75% of points for the championship anyway, so I'll still be behind you, wouldn't I?
I'll get 75% of a tweet.
Yeah, okay. And then I can recover it in the last third. What else? Race rating.
Driver of the day,
we've completely skipped over that. Who are we saying?
I want to give a shout out to Sebastian Vettel, yep. who went from ninth on the grid to last, back to yep. sixth, which was quite eventful in 40 yep. minutes. But I think it's got to be Max Verstappen.
I think as well, other shout-outs, I cannot believe I'm saying these words, but I do genuinely believe Latifi deserves a shout-out.
Go Tifi, what a guy.
He deserves it. He finished P9 in the Grand Prix. That held off Lando Norris right to the checkered flag. Did very, very well. George Russell as well did a pretty decent recovery after his pit yeah. stop. And
yeah,
Ocon.
The pit stop was a bit fumbled because he had to queue, or had to back off massively to queue behind
yeah.
Hamilton.
Ocon as well, I feel he did a very good job defending from Hamilton all afternoon. But yeah, really, Verstappen dominated, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Perez are back up into second.
He is by 1 point. So technically, actually, Verstappen locked out the title from Perez, not by Leclerc. So why we're all bringing Leclerc yeah. into this, I'll never know. But yeah, I mean, race rating then, Jamie, for... I mean, we can only really award 54% points, can't we?
Yeah, well, the 60% of the race that we had was probably like an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
So because... Actually, no, I was going to say because we should award 75% points, but apparently we don't do that. So I'm going to just give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I feel a 7.5 for me.
Give it full points.
Give it full points there. It was, for, especially like we said, for half a race, it was actually pretty good.
It was good fun. Yeah, really enjoyed
But I think then that's going to wrap us up, isn't it? We've gone through everything we need to this week.
Amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fan dabby dozy. How on earth as well, sorry, did Albon finish behind Sainz when he drove further?
He did.
I want to know how that works.
Maybe his...
I mean, it makes no difference.
His transponder stopped at the same time as
engine.
Yeah,
it made no difference, but I felt that was unfair that Albon was dropped down to P20 come the checkered flag. But, I mean, there we go then. That is our very quick-fire review of the Japanese Grand Prix. Thank you all so much for listening. We will be returning next Monday, of course, ready to preview the US Grand Prix. We've got another break week, of course, on our hands, so you'll have a bit of a breather from all of the podcasting. But... yeah, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll be back, with a USGP preview. Oscar Piastri tribute show as well. Looking forward to it. Did you see, Jamie, I raced him this week on iRacing?
It did not go well. Big fan of the show.
He is a very big fan. He did actually message me during the race going, can I come on the podcast next week? And I went, no, you're not a real Formula One driver yet. You can get in the bin. Start winning races, and then I'll think about it. But, yeah, we will speak to you then very, very soon. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll be back, next Monday. Next Tuesday, US Grand Prix time.